Good morning, Desert Hope. Good to see you all this morning. Special welcome to you joining us online, wherever you are joining us. Welcome. We're so glad that you are with us. We are today starting our second message series, and this one is on discipleship. Oh, buddy, here we go, church. Discipleship, it's the very thing that God has called our church and every church to be about. I'm so excited about this series. It's going to be a five-week series, and I really do need to stay on target this one because we have Reformation Sunday coming up and All Saints Sunday and all other kind of fun things that we have planned. We're excited about talking today about discipleship. You know, as you mention discipleship in a very casual conversation with people, it will conjure many different meanings. And honestly, it seems to be, in many ways, a lost art in the church, replaced in some ways by the social gospel. And the social gospel is a religious movement in the latter part of the 19th century, early 20th century. And really what we see happening there is this advocation for personal and social salvation that really applies the biblical principles of charity and justice. And so discipleship, some think that it's for the super Christians or the super spiritual Christians, as if that's even a word in the Bible. It's not for some, it is for everyone. That's right, turn to the person on your right and say, yep, the preacher's talking to you today. Discipleship is for everyone, not for some. You know, and here's the working discipleship definition that we're going to be looking at today and for four additional weeks. And here it is. Discipleship is the, say it with me, call. Say that with me, call. Not a job, not a role, not a seat to fill. No, discipleship is the call to follow Jesus and the call to lead others to follow Jesus. Now, this is in direct proportion, in alignment with our mission statement, which is to be transformed as we follow Jesus daily, leading others to do the same. Now, what does that mean? Well, as you step out in faith, as you follow Jesus daily, as you encounter the risen Christ who is alive and well in your life, as you spend time in God's holy word where you hear the voice of God and the peace that surpasses all human understanding, when you live a life of prayer, when you're on your knees trusting in the strength of the omnipotent God in heaven, when you live in relationship with Jesus, you are following Jesus. And when you follow Jesus, that is a life that is transformed by the grace of Jesus, a life that becomes totally a new person. Paul says it this way, the old has gone and the new has come. It's a transformed life. When you step out of the boat like Peter and you walk on water and you keep your eyes and your gaze fixed on Jesus and not all the distractions around you, all the discouraging elements of the world around you trying to bring you down, you're following Jesus. And the mission of Jesus is all about discipleship. Being and making disciples in Jesus' name. That's the big idea. That's where we're going. And it leads us to our purpose as a church. And this is the purpose of the church, to be disciples and to make disciples. To be disciples and to make disciples. And that's what we're going to be talking about for the next 4 weeks. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. If you do not have a Bible, there are many Bibles there for you on the chairs, our gift to you. You can simply take that with you. In Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, we see what is called the Great Commission. And in this commission, Jesus calls his disciples onto a mountain for a very specific reason. So let's look at what this is. Let's look at it. It's verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Now I'm fully in agreement and aware, and I realize that when we begin to talk about discipleship, there will be the early adopters, those that say, yes, that's what the church is to be about. That's exactly the avenue that we need to be going down. But the other reality to that is what the scriptures tell us, but some doubted. There will be some doubts among us, and that's good, but I encourage you, press into your doubts. Don't run away from them. Press into them, and Jesus will meet you there. But notice the call for Jesus' disciples to go to the mountain because Jesus wanted them to see something and to respond to something. And here's my first point if you're taking notes. When you go where Jesus tells you to go, you will see what Jesus wants you to see. When you go where Jesus leads you to go, calls you to go, empowers you to go, strengthens you to go, you will then have open eyes to see the very thing, the reality of what God wants you to see in your life. Now notice that these disciples went exactly to where Jesus had told them to go. Jesus already said in Matthew chapter 26, this very night you will all fall away from me, and on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Now, this is amazing to me, what's happening here. Don't miss this. Jesus is telling his disciples where they are to find him after they had abandoned him. Did you see that connection? Jesus said in Matthew 26, you will all be scattered. You will all fall away on account of me. And when Jesus calls his disciples to go to the mountain to see something, to see the picture of what the commission of God's church is to be about, he wanted them to see what they had left. And I wonder if we have done the same thing in response to our call to discipleship. I wonder if we have abandoned Jesus by abandoning the mission of Jesus. I wonder if we have made church something that we want it to be, but it was never intended to be. You know, we've made the church more like a museum for saints rather than a hospital for sinners. We've made the church more like an organization that functions more like a business than a living organism, alive, well, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have made the church more like a place where we come to have our own needs met and our own preferences and desires catered to, rather than a missional center from which we are sent out into our lost and broken world. We have made the church more like a commonplace to be comfortable rather than engaged and in serving relationship with our God by using our spiritual gifts to serve others. And I believe today the same invitation that was given to Jesus' first disciples are also given to you and to me. Go to the mountain, because I want you to see something that the church is to be about. Making disciples. When you go where Jesus tells you to go, you will see what Jesus wants you to see. And when you see, when your eyes are opened, your ears will be too. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 18. All authority, key word, authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. That's an action word. Go. Therefore, go. Not sit, not be comfortable, not go through the motions, not play church, not do church. No, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching, another key component, baptizing, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Here's my second point if you're taking notes. All authority and power rests in Jesus' hands. All authority, all power, all dominion rests in the hands of our good and benevolent Heavenly Father, because the word authority here means the power of one whose commands and will must be obeyed. Jesus, you see, is the God who existed before the foundations of the world was formed. Jesus is the God whose very word casts out demons, heals the sick, raises the dead from the dead, and grants the promise of eternal life to those who believe. Jesus is the God who overcame death and the grave, and by the power of his resurrection gives life to all who believe in his name. Jesus is the God who parts the Red Sea for his people to pass and the enemies to flounder. Jesus is the God who speaks to the waters, who speaks to the waves and says, "Be still," and it becomes still. Jesus is the God who looks at your disease and your sickness, and he says to you, "There is nothing too strong, no sickness, no illness, no force of the evil one coming against you that's not stronger than my power living in you through your baptism." Jesus is the God who says to you today, "All authority and power rests in my name." That's what Jesus says. And that's the hope and the promise that we have when we listen to Jesus. All authority, Jesus said, rests with me. And you know, that's really comforting to me. That is incredibly comforting, especially in the day and age in which we are living today. My wife and I, Kristen, we were out shopping for our home, and we were out running around, and we had found this beautiful globe here. And the moment I picked it up, I was burdened for our world and our nation with everything that's going on. The moment I picked it up, I just started to sing. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the little tiny baby. He's got the little tiny baby in his hands. He's got the little tiny baby in his hands. He's got the little tiny baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. You and me, sister. He's got you and me, sister, brother, hands. He's got you and me in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. And you know, I walked through the store, and before long, I looked around, and my wife had left me. She was on the other end of the store, and I was on the other. And I said, "Honey, where did you go?" She said, "You're embarrassing me. Everyone can hear you." So I started to hum. You know, we need to remember that, church. God has all authority and power. And I went through that store and I was just singing my heart out. And I probably was an embarrassment. I know, I get it. But man, there was something in my spirit that had to be reminded that no matter what goes on around me, there's a God who has my life, who has our church, who has our community, who has our world in his hands. There's a God who's fighting the battles for us. We don't have to fight our own battles. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what struggle is in your life, but you need to be reminded today that God has the whole world, including your life, your struggle, your disappointment, your challenge, your opportunity, whatever it is, God has it in his hands. And if we know that, we can respond to what Jesus says in verse 19. He says, "Therefore, go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Here's my third point if you are taking notes this morning. The command to go is the opportunity to follow. the command to go, to follow Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus is an opportunity to follow Jesus where he leads the way. And that's what this thing is all about, following Jesus where God is leading the way. You know, some of the greatest leaders are those who understand that to be a great leader, you must have first to be a great follower. You will never lead faithfully until you demonstrate faithfully following. In the word gospel itself, starts with the two letters, go. Go. If you want to live out the gospel, you have to go. The Greek word is paruo, which means to pursue the journey on which one has entered. And here it is, to continue on that journey. In our vernacular, I'll say it this way. When you rise in the morning, when you put your full armor of God on, as we talked about, as you go into your business place, as you go into the schools, as you go into the shopping market, as you live your faith out in the marketplace, wherever you go, as you sit around the dinner table with your children, as you spend time with your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, as you do life, make disciples. In other words, it's not one list on an already existing list of what we should be about. Discipleship is not a program. Discipleship is not a bullet point on a list. Discipleship is a way of life where we are transformed by Jesus' love, where we say, God has found my life in the pit of Sheol, in the dark places of the tormenting spirit of evil in my life. God has brought me out of that. He's brought me out of that divorce. He's brought me out of that discouragement, and he has put a song in my heart. Discipleship is not a program. Discipleship, church, is a way of life. If you believe it this morning, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what discipleship is. It's about living in a constant, transformational relationship with Jesus. And when that happens, you will lead others to follow Jesus. And it's not a program. It's not what do I do. It's a natural, organic flow of what comes out of here. You see, you cannot make what you have not first become. You cannot make what you have not first become. I remember I was wrapping up my 20s and getting into my 30s, and I was hoping for a wife and praying for a wife, and man, I had a long list of what I was looking for. And somebody came to me and said, Brian, I challenge you. Become first what you are looking for in a wife. Become first what you are looking for in a wife. And immediately that list was thrown out. It's like, oh, Jesus, you got to help me here. Become first. You see, if we're going to be disciples that make disciples, we cannot make disciples until we become disciples, until we are discipled in the faith, until you say there's an opportunity for spirituality and for growth in my life, and therefore, instead of seeing the need, I see an opportunity to serve and to be a blessing to other people. You know, I'll be honest, where we are as a church is a very difficult place because right now we are tugging on shoulders, tugging on arms. Hey, we need you to fill this role. We need you to do this. And let me say this with a very pastoral, loving heart toward you. We do not need you. Our leaders have been told by me, we do not need you. God doesn't need me. You need the spiritual serving opportunity. We don't need you. You need it. Spiritual maturity comes when we serve other people. And some of us have been waiting. Some of us are exhausted and we're sitting. We're waiting for somebody else to step up, somebody else to do it. I don't want to be charged with that anymore. That's got to go. Every single person here has a spiritual gift, at least one. And we are committed as a church to help you, to come alongside of you, to empower you to utilize your spiritual gifts so that you can first be a disciple, You will never make disciples unless you first are a disciple of Jesus Christ, until you say, no, I want to be discipled by somebody else. I want to learn the truths of the faith. I want to be challenged in my prayer life. I want to get into a small group where I can study God's word and live life in community with other people. You need that. We don't need you. And the humbling reality is God doesn't need any of us. He chooses us. And when that gets into our soul, it's no longer somebody else can do that. No, it's, oh my goodness, God, you have chosen me to stand at the Connect Center where I can be a smile to somebody new coming into our church, where I can give them a welcome bag and say, hey, welcome to Desert Hope. We have made a space here for you to come to know Jesus Christ, to be discipled in your faith. This is the vision of our church, to be disciples, to make disciples. We are so glad you are here. Welcome, welcome. How can we serve you? Or for communion. No longer can we get someone to fill the role. It's, wow, do we see the amazing privilege and honor to say the words, this is my blood shed for you. That's a job. Oh, church, we've missed it. It's an opportunity to share Jesus. And if we really understood theologically what we're doing, that is discipleship, giving Jesus out. It is his true body and his blood given for you. Here's the challenge today. It's a challenge for our church. It's a challenge for each and every one of us. If we are defining discipleship as the call, not the job or the role or anything else, but a call to follow Jesus and a call to lead others to follow Jesus, then I am challenging every single person under the sound of my voice to follow Jesus' model of making disciples. And what is Jesus' model? Let me share it with you. It's called the discipleship grid. The discipleship grid. And I am challenging every member, every leader, every disciple maker, everyone, that this is the grid that we are going to be working out as we go forward in faith. Every single person, if you are a Bible study leader, if you lead the communion assistants, or you're a musician, or you're anything in this church, small group leader, here is the grid. I do, you watch. That's the first part. I do. You watch. And this is how we're going to be doing our spiritual workshop. I'm looking for those who have the gift of teaching, for those who have already been through the gift workshop. And I'm looking for those and praying about who can I invite into this as a disciple, not because one's up here, one's down here. No, discipleship is a journey. It's say, hey, come along with me. It's not I'm better than you, I'm more skilled than you. No, it's I'm wanting to make disciples. I want to replicate. I want to multiply myself. I want to see this church function under great leadership where in my absence, we continue to move forward. It's not contingent upon people. It's contingent upon the mission of Jesus. I do, you watch. That's the first part. Is you just invite someone in, hey, I'm going to do this time, and you just watch how I do this. Watch how I interact with people. Watch how we do this. Number two, it's I do, you help. Here's the key word, empowering people. Not doing the work for people. Stop doing the work. If you are doing the work, hear me very carefully. Stop it. Don't just jump in because someone didn't show up or we didn't have someone to serve. No. You are empowering what we don't want. I do, you help. Empowerment, strengthening, edifying the body of Christ in how every person is gifted. Number three, you do, I help. Now you have a little bit more to do, a little bit more emphasis on being a part, and I'm there to help you. I'm just there to answer questions for you, to be alongside. You're not in this thing alone. That's one thing that we haven't done very well. We sign someone up because there's a need, and then they get stuck doing it. No one wants that, including your pastor. No, don't abandon them. That's not discipleship. Say, I'm in this with you. You're going to do it now, and I'm going to be right there with you. If you fall, we'll get back up again. We're going to try new things. We're going to be creative in our philosophical ministerial outreach to reach more people. And if we fail, we're going to get back up again by the grace of God, and you are not alone. We're going to help you. You're not in this alone. Number three, you got to get that. You do, I help. We're there to help. And then number four, you do, and I watch. Because you are empowered, and you are strengthened, and you are edified, and you are equipped. You have the necessary tools in your toolbox to be successful in making disciples. And then the next time that happens, maybe the Bible study launches again, a new study, a new workshop, that person that you select to disciple will start the process all again. And after that happens, it starts again. There's someone else being discipled, someone else in the making. Do you see what's happening? Growth. Multiplication. This is the challenge of our church. Every person has a role. I'm going to ask you to stand as we close. And I know with a message of this kind, as we talk about discipleship, God's going to be stirring many lives and many hearts in various ways. And so I want to give the Holy Spirit time to minister to you. And I don't know where you are in your understanding of discipleship, but church, if we're not about discipleship, what are we about? What are we doing? Discipleship is the call of the church. There aren't options here. There aren't select from this program or that program. No, discipleship is the call. Discipleship is the mission. Discipleship is saying, God, you've changed my life. You've touched me. And if there's someone here today that the Holy Spirit is ministering His healing grace over your life, maybe online, or maybe right here in this building, God is saying to you, like He did many years ago for me, no longer am I just going to be about the ministry of business. This is not a business. This is a church, a living organism, alive in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want to encourage and bless you in this disciple-making journey. And if that's you today, and you're watching online, and God is tugging on your heart. You've been sitting, you've been waiting, and you have failed to see. You need to go to Galilee today. Church, we're in Galilee, and we're on the mountain, and God wants you to see something that you haven't seen before. You need, hear me, for your well-being, for your good, you need a place to serve. Where is it going to be? Where is it going to be? God, we pray today that you would show us our next step of faith, whatever that is. Maybe it's attending this workshop that's coming up so that we can learn or maybe rediscover the gifts that you have given to us to use in your church and to bless people with the love of Jesus Christ. I pray your blessing on us, God, as we move in this direction as a church. God, to your name, and the power of Jesus alive in us, be glorified now and always. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.